Good afternoon and welcome to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, and a whole team of folks here at the Internet Advisors Program. We're here as hour number two of a three-hour program, and in this hour, we're going to be looking at some very interesting comments around the FBI and Apple struggle that's going on. We're also going to meet the folks from Mac Professionals, the Apple authorized service provider that has been helping people in the state of Michigan for quite a while now. All that coming up.
Back to the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
I'm having a hard time containing the conversation in the studio, and we haven't even gotten on the air yet. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, and probably one of the hotter topics in the computer world. My name is Foster Brown, the host, co-host, and producer of the Internet Advisor, and thank you very much for joining us. I'm teasing a little bit, but
There's passion around this subject?
Oh, really? Yes. Really, Gary Baker, my co-host here. Ed Rudell, Kel Carson, and Shane Hamlin are in studio. Our whole tech crew is here. And also in studio with us is Dean Norton. He is the CTO of Mac Professionals, which is an Apple-authorized service provider that is in the... It's Farmington Hills out there, right?
Our newest is in Farmington Hills. That's right.
In Farmington Hills. And we are going to talk about your organization, where you are. We started the conversation behind the scenes here, kind of just willy-nilly digging into the whole subject of the issue of the FBI demanding, at least the way it's been posed is, the FBI is demanding that Apple open up the Apple 5C iPhone that one of the folks who was involved in the San Bernardino... One of the terrorists involved in the San Bernardino shootings.
And the FBI has a court order.
Has a court order.
Issued by the judge.
Okay. And right? The court order is?
To help the FBI unencrypt the iPhone so that they can see if there's any other information on there that would help them either identify a friend that may also commit another terrorist act against somebody, or to see what was on there on the phone, right?
Okay.
And the root of the problem is the phone is encrypted.
And it's great encryption. Apple has great encryption.
The thing
yes,
is,
apparently.
Because the FBI can't break it.
Right. And the thing is, the only people that hold the keys is the person that creates the encryption.
Right.
Apple did not create a backdoor, and nor do they have a manufacturer's encryption key for their units. So there really is nothing Apple can do except...
Oh, they can.
Well, I'm sure they can.
That's not true.
I'm sure they can install
they can
an alternate... Yeah, but the other thing is
they
want the government
to do that.
They refuse to do it. But one of the things the government also wants is, and with many of the manufacturers, they want a lot of the phone manufacturers and hardware manufacturers to create a governmental backdoor.
Different issue.
See, that's what I thought.
No, so it's a different issue because this time it's about terrorism and it's about the FBI going to the courts, legally obtaining a subpoena to have Apple help them unencrypt the phone, because really it's great encryption and Apple has created this. People should feel really good that Apple has created this encryption that not even the FBI can break.
So that's one of the reasons Apple's resisting this, is because you've got something somewhat unprecedented here. The government is asking a company to take a step that potentially could compromise their brand.
Yep.
No,
to
it
make
couldn't.
It seem less robust from a security perspective.
No,
that
couldn't.
Is certainly no. We can debate the technical merits, of course, but Apple feels this way.
Apple's grandstanding because they're getting great publicity. It's wonderful publicity. The problem is there's a court order, and if you violate that court order, you're in contempt of court,
and you should
go to jail.
They can appeal it, and they're going to appeal it.
And that's what they're doing.
So they've gotten a delay just to keep up the story. They've gotten a delay,
and
until
hopefully none of these terrorists' friends that might have been exposed because of information that might be on that phone. Hopefully, none of those friends commit a terrorist act and kill more people while this delay is happening.
Let me introduce somebody else to the conversation, as if we didn't have enough people involved. Scott Larson is with us. Scott is the adjunct professor at Spring Harbor University in South Central Michigan, where he's teaching a class on cybersecurity. And Scott, thank you very much for joining us. And you feel free to jump in here with both feet.
Yeah, first of all, it's a pleasure. First time on the radio, so pretty cool.
Hey, Scott. Welcome to the Internet Advisor Show. Just as a matter of full disclosure, Scott and I work together, but he teaches this wonderful class. He went to Spring Arbor University, and he's a cybersecurity expert, had been with the state, and now with Beaumont Health. So.
Yeah, so I caught the tail end of your discussion there, and I came across an article recently about why the FBI is using a 227-year-old law against Apple. And I'm not a lawyer, so, but I thought it was interesting they're dredging this up to be kind of a create a precedent. So more to come, I guess, on that. When Gary told me about coming on the show and asked me, what are we teaching the kids at Spring Harbor, and this will be the first cybersecurity class we've offered at Spring Harbor University. It's cyber is really catching fire in a lot of the universities.
Oh, yeah.
Got a lot of
yeah.
programs. Our third week subject was cryptography, and so very timely on that. You got to ask yourself on this, and we talked about it in class, that if you're a law-abiding citizen, they say, well, you have nothing to hide, right? So why don't you just send your mail on postcards, right? Got nothing to hide. Or do drug testing on demand, submit to that, or why do you need a warrant, so forth. So cryptography allows us to protect our data as it travels. That's really important. We practice the cybersecurity triad, what we call it, CIA. The C stands for confidentiality, I stands for integrity, and A stands for availability. And all those three are vitally important to cybersecurity and protecting our data. So confidentiality protects it from being eavesdropped upon and being modified in any way.
Okay.
And integrity allows us to rely on the data itself for decision-making purposes. So if we've protected it when it gets to its destination, then we can use it properly.
Scott, we're going to pause for just a second. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Scott Larson, who is a professor at Spring Arbor University, teaches about cybersecurity there, will join us as we continue this conversation about the FBI versus Apple. Lots of interesting comments coming up next. Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, co-host of the program and producer, and our whole crew is in studio, and we also have with us as well Dean Norton, who is the CTO, Chief Technological Officer, right?
Technology Officer.
Yep. For Mac Professionals, which is an Apple-authorized service provider. The only other, I think you're the only one in the state, am I right, besides the Apple stores?
It's better to praise it as we're the only one, really, in southern Michigan.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
For the vast majority of your, for the entirety of your listening area, we are the shop that is the only Apple authorized shop.
That's not quite true, because you can hear us halfway to between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
Okay, stand corrected.
You can hear us in Kentucky, right? All of Ohio and parts of Indiana into Canada.
In the state of Michigan, though, you have been around now for how many years?
We were formed in January 2000, so
okay.
We've been around for a long
time. Since the turn of the century, you've been here. It's funny to say since the turn of the century. But in the last 16 years, you've been around. And you are, but for instance, in Southeast Michigan, well, in Michigan, period, in the southern tier of Michigan, we only had the Apple Store in Partridge Creek and the one in Somerset.
And you have one in Briarwood.
And one in Briarwood. And then that's pretty much it, besides yourselves, am I right?
12 Oaks. And 12 besides
Oaks. Oh, 12 Oaks, rather, right. Okay.
So if you go online and look for authorized iPhone repair, you'll find those four stores in our area and Mac Professionals.
And Mac Professionals. Right. So it's important. We want to let people know about that and provide the services you provide there. But what you're providing, too, is a little more kindling for this conversation that we have right now.
Well, we didn't ask him, really, to come in and
no,
talk
we didn't.
About
and
this,
I want to talk more about yourselves and
now,
what you're
Scott
doing.
Might be a little fairer game.
Yeah,
to
I think maybe
got
so.
Scott Larson on the phone, Scott teaches a cybersecurity class at Spring Arbor University. So welcome back, Scott.
Thank you, Scott, for being here with us.
Thank you.
Scott, we had you. You had three principles about cybersecurity. One was C, I, and the last one was A. It's kind of interesting. There's cybersecurity.
Yeah, it's not the same one you're thinking of.
No.
It does.
But the A principle, we didn't get that one yet. That was
availability. So, for example, the network needs to be available to be able to transmit information, right?
Okay.
So having that network up and not being attacked by denial-of-service attacks, things of that nature.
Okay.
Is very important.
All right, so we've got Scott Larson with us, somebody who teaches about cybersecurity. The rest of the folks in here, Gary and Dean and the other guys, are here to comment as well. Here's my question that I have for you guys. Maybe it's kind of simplistic. As I looked at the information involved in this, it looks like the issue is kind of like the FBI said to Apple, look, we have a cell phone, this 5C cell phone that belonged to one of the terrorists in the San Bernardino shootings.
Right.
We want you to help us to get into that cell phone so we can get the information. In other words, it's about that single cell phone, isn't
right.
it?
And it's
how
about
has it become
stopping terrorism.
Issue? But wait a minute. How does it become a bigger issue so that's now, you know, Google is behind Apple and everybody else is saying, you can't do this because you're going to open up all cell phones. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. It was about one cell phone, wasn't it, Ed?
Well, I was going to say, you know, Gary made this distinction. There's two things. There's building in the back door. And then just decrypt this one phone.
Yeah.
And I think we're confusing the issue.
Right.
All they're asking is for this one phone to be decrypted.
That's my thought.
But a lot of the press is combining it with, unfortunately, with
the writers. They're writers. They're not technologists. What do they know, right?
That's
and
true.
Besides that, it sells newspapers if they write it that way. Just like Apple is making a great big to-do out of this, and they're getting wonderful publicity. and eventually, they'll probably relent to the court order because guess what? If they don't, they're in contempt of court. There's a legitimate court order that the FBI got to compel Apple to help them.
Now, Dean, am I right that, and Scott, feel free to chime in on this. Essentially, what they're asking is that Apple would allow them to, one commentary or so, essentially to brute force the password for this 5C phone
right. the FBI
beyond the 10 times. Because after
right.
10 times of trying, Scott,
yes.
then it wipes everything out.
That's
gone.
Correct.
Boom.
That's true. That's what they're asking.
They want to modify the firmware in the running RAM of the computer without changing what's on the phone itself so that the FBI can do the brute force breaking. They're not asking Apple to break the phone open themselves.
Okay. Ah. Okay.
You know, guys, to my view, it'd be really simple. Take that FBI, bring that phone in an armored car to Apple, let them unlock it, send it back to the FBI so they can get the data they want off it.
Yep.
Or they could bring it into John McAfee. Right? So didn't he just post something?
I saw
something?
That today, too.
I saw that Thursday. And
it's more grandstanding.
Tell me
more
about
grandstanding.
What happened?
Okay.
Well, I didn't realize he was a presidential candidate for the Independent Party.
Oh, no.
So Harry, he's grandstanding himself. He's saying, bring it to my company. Give me 3 weeks, FBI.
Yeah.
I'll do it for free. And
McAfee Security.
But the court order doesn't ask him to do that.
No.
The court order's asking Apple for some help.
Right.
Right?
Well,
to help stop potential more terrorist acts. And again, my concern is, we can grandstand. And Dean, you made a great point off the air. I'll state it again, or actually I'll ask you to state it. There's some great public awareness going on right now, right?
Sure. I think this is a great test case to allow consumers to become a little bit more sensitive about encryption as a general concept, how encryption works on these ubiquitous products like the iPhone and the Android platform, how it affects their lives. I mean, one thing that's coming to light is that Apple, while it does not have the crypto keys for the phone itself, does have the crypto keys for some of the cloud services.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you're backing up your phone to Apple's cloud, that is something that Apple can get for you. And in fact, based on the reading I've done, one of the first instructions they gave the FBI was plug this phone in, make sure it's on Wi-Fi, and let it sit overnight, and then give us a call. Because at that point, they'd have access to the backup that was done to the cloud.
Right.
Oh.
And their concern is that somebody...
They couldn't do it, though. It didn't work, right?
That's right. The word I heard was that apparently somebody in this is a corporate-owned phone owned by the San Bernardino Health Department.
Changed the password.
Somebody changed the password.
Oh,
that's a very mysterious issue, and that'll be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah.
So
Scott, you know, you deal a lot with encrypted hard drives, right? There's some pretty good encryption out there today.
There sure is.
AES 256, you can't break 128, let alone 256.
You know,
right?
Guys, hang on. We've got that the FBI is part of a government that also has the resources of the NSA.
Okay, wait, guys.
Why couldn't they tear it apart?
Okay, here's the reason. I was one of those people that got the letter from Office of Personnel Management say, sorry, China got your information when they hacked us.
Oh.
So let's call it what it is, guys. They're not always on the ball on some of this, and that's why the public's kind of not trusting 100%, right, with their data. And that's basically the issue, I think.
But this is about one phone. And while this great public awareness issue is going on, I am really hoping that, and especially for Apple's sake, that one of the terrorist friends doesn't commit a terrorist act, kill more people, and we find out later that there's information on that phone that could possibly have gotten to the terrorist before
If it's one of their friends, they probably talked to him on the phone. Why don't they just trace the phone numbers?
I can't tell you why, but I'm sure they've done that already. But I think that they want to make sure that there's nothing there that could help them stop terrorism. We all want to stop terrorism.
Do you think this will go to the Supreme Court, guys?
But I don't understand why. Like
why
said,
somebody why has to comply?
Why don't they just zip it back up to the cloud and take whatever they get?
Well, that's exactly. Apparently, they can't.
They can't.
Am I right, Dean?
They
can't now because the iCloud password that was required for that backup is no longer available.
Yeah, so they tried that.
Oh. Okay. Shane, you were going to say something?
No, I don't. I don't think it'll go that far. I think Apple's going to step up and look like the hero and say, you know what, we're going to do this for you. Here you go. There's no reason. Nope. They've got their glory off of it.
Yep.
And I think
and
they're just going to back down.
And they don't want Tim Cook to go to jail.
Yeah.
Right. And if the company is in contempt of court, right? I'm not sure who goes to jail in that case. But if they're being held in contempt of court, some additional ramifications
are
going
to go to jail.
I would just love to see how this whole thing would play out if Steve was still alive.
Oh,
but you know,
Steve Jobs.
That would be an entirely different twist.
But if it's one phone and it's all about stopping terrorism and there's a court order.
I wonder if this would have been a Microsoft phone, what would have happened.
Oh, that would all of these things would have been are fascinating.
Yeah,
Scott, I want to thank you very much for being available here, for being with us, and for jumping into
Scott,
the conversation.
Thanks a lot.
Scott Larson from Spring Arbor University has been with us talking about this subject as well. Thanks so much. Back in just a moment, we're going to try to talk a little bit more. Thank you for joining us for what may be the first hour of the Internet Advisor for you, but we've actually been on since 3 o'clock, and we're going to be here until 6. And may I remind you this, starting after the news at the top of the hour, we're going to open up our phone lines at 800-859-0957, and you'll be able to ask your questions of this august gathering here. Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, Cal Carson, and Shane Hamlin, all in studio to answer your questions.
And we were just talking at the break.
Yes.
To finish up what was going on, and none of us are attorneys, so
homie,
we're all
that's
just,
not going to finish up.
But we were talking about, well, what if the courts, and the courts are, well, Apple's appealing the court order to turn this over.
We're talking about the FBI and the Capitol. Okay.
Right. Well, we're talking now the FBI got a court order.
Right.
So they're appealing that. If they lose the appeal, I guess it could go all the way to the Supreme Court. Probably won't. Mm-hmm. Right? Probably won't go past the appeals court. Probably. Don't know. Maybe it will. But at some point, if they're found guilty, they would be found in contempt of court. So we were just using the example here. We have a limited liability company.
Called the Internet Advisor.
Called the Internet Advisor. And I just filed the papers with the state because it has to be done by February 15th each year. And I would be the resident agent. If you guys withhold information in... You know,
and we've all agreed to visit you.
Yeah, well, you know, if there's a court order and we're giving over anything they want, we'll
start up a crowd share fight site.
There you go. Yes,
raise your money.
Go fund me. Get Gary out of jail. That's
free
the next
Gary.
One.
We'll have free Gary free stickers and everything.
T-shirts, the whole nine yards.
Oh, thanks a
Let
lot,
me
guys.
Reintroduce
I really appreciate it.
Dean. This is in some ways, Dean. I have to apologize. You weren't, I don't think, ready for this kind of thing. Dean Norton is with us.
Well, we didn't invite him here because of this FBI Apple
But it just happened. I saw the information. It was in the Oakland Press. There was a rather nice article about Mac Professionals, which is your company, which has been around now for about 16 years. You are an Apple authorized service provider. And, you know, maybe as a layman, I thought that's the only one I know of in the state of Michigan outside of the Apple stores where you can go to get your Apple computer or other product worked on them. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. For the most part, we're the only one in Michigan. There is another store in northern Michigan, and we have a store in northern Michigan in the Bay Harbor area near Petoskey.
That's right.
So we have three locations, one in the Petoskey Bay Harbor area, one in Novi, which is a large facility aimed at business-to-business work on the Apple platform. And our newest is in the Hunter Square Plaza on the southwest corner of 14 Mile and Orchard Lake.
So every time I go into an Apple store, it's filled with people, energetic, busy. They're servicing its product and stuff like that. I'm happy and all that sort of stuff. But it takes a while to get up to that service desk.
Mm.
How about coming to your store? Am I going to go through that same sort of madness, or will it just be a more... let's say
tranquil
experience.
Well, you put your finger on why we formed that new store in Farmington Hills. We have a great relationship at several levels with Apple. And the AppleCare folks reached out to us and said, you've been a long-standing Apple-authorized service provider. Would you be willing to expand your footprint? And here's why. The experience at the Apple stores has not been great in some circumstances. Mm-hmm. With long lines, customers who don't know they need to make appointments, and sometimes it's all hands on deck at the Apple store just to try and keep folks moving along.
Yep.
So the intent is that we can try to peel some of that traffic away from the area stores. And we sit between 12 Oaks and Somerset. We have a great relationship with those stores and with those folks. We just had the Somerset team over to the store the other day for a nice confab so they could see our space. And we have two things the Apple stores don't have. One would be ample seating, and the other would be free gourmet coffee.
Oh, yes.
So we hope that to help with the demand.
Am I right? I mean, I was surprised, Dean, to find that there actually was a third-party Apple-authorized service provider, because my sense of Apple was it's too precious. They won't let that out of their hands. How did you guys get hold of that?
Well, it turns out, my precious.
The authorized service provider predates the Apple stores considerably.
Oh.
By about a decade, really.
Oh, yeah. And they've been around for a long time.
That's right. So when the stores came out, there were many folks that did what we do now that couldn't hang in there because the stores vacuumed up a lot of that traffic. And we were talking the other night with the Somerset folks, and one of those folks made a great point, which is when the authorized service provider network was built, it was a largely Mac business. And many customers still know how to find shops like ours to do their Mac stuff. And we do vintage Mac repair, so that gives them another reason for them to find us.
Oh.
But the stores were launched roughly in concert with the emergence of the iPhone. So a lot of customers now just think about coming to the manufacturer for that. But it's depending on whose numbers you're looking at, whether it's web traffic or just the buying of products. It's the number one or number two most popular smartphone platform in the world. And so it's too much of a good thing. And in our area, we're lucky to have a lot of Apple stores, but it's just not quite enough. So we're hoping to help out with that.
I would imagine in the U.S. in particular with the iPhone, regardless of the rest of the world, because the Android platform is, I think, bigger overall when you're looking at the rest of the world. But in the U.S., certainly, iPhone, I think, is probably...
Well, I don't think so. But
it depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. But,
oh, really?
But anyway, I do love my iPhone, and I now especially love it since I know that it's encrypted so well that not even the FBI can
get
it.
You're just going to go back to that. Go back to that.
When you have when you're completely Apple oriented, the Apple stores do really well, right? I happen to love my Apple iPhone, but because of work and because of other things, I'm a Windows-based computer user. I have a really hard time finding anybody in the Apple stores themselves that really kind of can talk between the two, and I want my Apple iPhone to sync with my Outlook on my Windows platform. Mm-hmm. Can you guys do that?
Well, you gave me a great window. We've been doing...
Window,
we've been
that's
doing,
cute.
We've been doing Apple integration with the other platforms, chiefly, obviously, the Microsoft platform, for years.
Yep.
That's been one of our calling cards. We've worked with a lot of the businesses in the area, the big three, the broadcast companies here in town, to help with Apple Windows integration, including Active Directory and so on. So
I think that's a huge win and differential between you and the Apple stores, because the last time I went in and the 22-year-old kid that was trying to help me went, why don't you just buy a Mac? And I'm going, because my company doesn't issue Macs. You know, it's like,
well, I have employees that don't use Macs, so that should tell you something right there. I've got some Windows specialists on staff, and I'm tolerant enough to let them do their own thing.
So if I walk into your store, am I going to hear Yanni, you know, playing some yoga music, or am I going to hear some rock and roll?
Oh, you'll hear some rock and roll.
Okay,
all
good.
Right.
Okay.
We've got a lot of sound systems in the store, so you'll hear some good stuff.
And as far as for businesses, how did your services pan out for them? What do you offer?
Well, so one of the things that I think is I'd love to get out on the air for the folks that are listening is there's a misconception about what happens if you have an iPhone in warranty and you drop it, which so many of us have.
Mm-hmm.
You drop it or even drop it in the drink and you damage the phone. Most of us feel like, okay, I understood I was under a limited warranty or even an AppleCare warranty, an AppleCare Plus warranty, but I did something to it, accidental damage. So my only choice now is to go to a third-party repair shop that is not using Apple original authorized parts, mm-hmm. that doesn't have Apple authorized technicians, and certainly it must be cheaper, right? And the reality is, even if you shatter your phone, you have the option to take it to a place like Mac Professionals, and we can use original Apple parts with Apple authorized technicians and restore the phone to a warranty eligible state. And what's happening, unfortunately, is a lot of the consumer population doesn't know that. And they have these very expensive phones. Now that we've got these new buying models, some people are spending $700 on the phone outside of a data plan. And it's the center of our digital lives. There's no question about it. So we love these things. We want to get them fixed as soon as possible. And they assume they don't have an Apple authorized route. And in fact, they do. They can bring it to Mac Professionals. And the cost of doing what I'm describing, using an original Apple part, is the same in most cases as it would be to use a third party part. And those parts, by the way, I should share with you that Mac Professionals used to do this. We used to do work in third party parts, mm-hmm. before we were granted the right to do it with Apple authorized parts. And it was not a great experience for our customers. We had a high degree of part failure, and software issues. We had customer confusion around their warranty. And if you put one of those screens on your phone now, one of the third party screens, you can no longer bring it anywhere for repair at an Apple store or an authorized.
You also risk bricking the phone. Am I right? Of that error. What is the error?
Error 53.
Yep. Which apparently, if I understand it right, means if you do use a third-party component to repair your phone, am I right on this?
That's one of the phenomena that can occur if you use a third-party screen.
You could actually end up bricking it completely, making it unusable.
Well, you know, I have to wonder if that's a play on words between Area 52 and Area 53.
The experiences apparently are close.
That goes right along with our conversation about cryptography today.
I'm sorry. I have a question, though. So in corporations, we're penetrating, a lot of Macs into the corporate environment. Mm. A lot of bring your own device to work, right?
Yep.
And then, but if something happens and you're a Mac person, it's like, I got to stand in line at the Mac store. Okay. Do you form businesses or cooperations with corporations to service their components, their computers, their Mac?
We actually do. We actually work around the United States. I have engineers in multiple states, even though our footprint, we're proud that our footprint's been here in Detroit. We have engineers around the United States, and we've worked coast to coast with business and education partners.
That's excellent. Great. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, I want to talk, Cal, you have a meeting coming up. We're going to talk about that. The Mac Group is meeting. And I want to continue to talk a little bit more about some of the services, Dean, that you folks offer at Mac Professionals. That's out in the Hunter Square. And we'll talk more about that location coming up in just a minute on the Internet Advisor. We used to call them Mac attacks. That's when we would have a program specially designed dealing with Apple issues. And matter of fact,
do you know how long ago that was?
I know. That's when you came aboard. That was what?
2004.
2004?
Yeah.
Wow. 12 years ago.
12 years of madness.
That is how we got Cal on board with us, and we've had a few of them since then. But it's nice to have a program where we can focus on Mac, even though Mr. Baker doesn't think that they are worthy of having that kind of attention given to them.
I love my iPhone.
They're up to 10% now.
Okay.
They're the number 4 computer manufacturer in the world.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different ways of looking at that in terms of, I think a lot of us, well, I think, how many of us have iPhones? You have an iPhone, Gary. I have.
I do. My whole family does.
Do you, Cal? You carry an iPhone? He carries an iPhone. Ed, you've got an Android, right?
Yes. Of course. Yes, but I keep an iPhone powered off just in case.
Sorry, Ed.
and Shane, you have a Windows phone.
I have a Windows phone, Windows 10 phone.
Yep, yes. There you go. There you go.
So that's about 20%.
I have an iPhone. The iPhone 6.
So the world is covered.
The world is
covered. All we need is a flip phone and life would be complete.
Oh, the flip phone, my StarTAC. I love that. I went through so many of them because of flipping them, constantly. Anyway, Mac Professionals is the name of the organization. Dean Norton is with us. He's the CTO out there. They are an Apple Authorized Service Provider, and that began back around 2000 here in the Detroit. No, not in Detroit. Up in Bay Harbor, I think.
No, we began in Detroit. We've been Detroit natives through and through. Yep.
What brought you to Bay Harbor? I mean, it's a lovely community up there.
It sure is. Well, we detected a need for support, you know, sort of north of the Bay City area.
Oh, I got you.
There's a lot of folks up there that have Apple technology. We looked for a great spot to put it. We thought the Bay Harbor community was a fabulous place to do it. And it's been a great ride for us. That store is beautiful. It's constantly filled with folks coming in. We've had folks come in on boats. We've had folks come in from Canada, from Wisconsin. So it's a nice pin in the map up
that
there.
Is fantastic. When did you join the organization?
I'm almost as old as Mac Professionals itself in terms of my time there. I've been there for about 15 years.
Oh, wow. Yep. Where did you come from before that?
I've sort of transferred my flag around from support organization to support organization. Okay. A little bit of design work on the Apple platform, a little support work on the
platform. But basically, you came from the Apple platform? That was
I have been an Apple guy from through and through, from the beginning.
Oh, wow. Back in the days, in the mists, when Steve was still moving the brand
when
around.
The juice was very, very sweet.
That has got to be a quote that we hold on to.
I'm just glad he didn't say Kool-Aid.
That's Jim Jones. Cal, since you've made your comment, there's something special coming up this weekend with the Mac Group Detroit.
Of course, yeah. We've been around probably as long as Mac Professionals, maybe a little bit longer. And that'll be tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Mac Group will be meeting at the Birmingham Temple over in Farmington Hills, Michigan. You can go to macgroup.org or go to internetadvisor.net to find out the exact location and times. We'll be talking about, matter of fact, Sheeta Hunter will be presenting the Mac OS X. Why does my brain not
say El Capitan?
That's right. So we'll be talking everything about El Capitan tomorrow. So if you want to come out, you can take a look at it. It's open to everyone, both Windows and Mac. And at 2 o'clock, we have our Genius Table where you can bring your Mac problems and
we can try and help you out
with those as well.
Now, I had a question for you, Dean, about what about student discounts or anything like that? Because you're located next to some universities and colleges. Did you offer any type of student discounts for college kids or anything if they show their student ID? I'm just throwing it out there. I'm sorry.
He's got a kid in school. You can
sure. No, yeah. the best choice for a student who's looking for that discount is to buy from Apple Direct.
Yeah. Okay.
They definitely have that wired properly. And you can find that discount information on the Apple Store website or by walking into one of the stores.
But, right. I was just wondering about service or anything like that. Yep. Okay. Well, that's good.
Dean, I want to ask a question that I was listening to. One of my favorite podcasts to listen to is Mac Break Weekly with Leo Laporte and his gang. And one of the things that seems to be kind of this rising tide of comment, and apparently it came from some of the big fanboys of Apple, is a complaint about Apple software. The hardware still is marvelous. This MacBook Pro that I have here is, I think, 6 years old. Got it, or 5 years old, 2011, I think I got late. It's worked wonderfully for me. I've replaced the hard drive to put an SSD in it, but basically it's worked wonders for me. I've never had to take it back for any kind of repair. So the hardware seems to be holding on well, but there's a growing chorus of complaints about Apple software.
Well, there's a trade-off between the speed of innovation and the stability of product. And that's not unique to Apple. It's something that you see in many industries. A few years ago, Apple made a commitment to release a new version of iOS and a new version of OS X every year. Mm. And so they proceed at what I only can imagine is a breakneck development pace inside Apple, making sure that they can release those operating systems every fall. Mm-hmm. And a company like Mac Professional spends time preparing for that release because it's impactful to many of our customers, both consumers and businesses and education organizations. But I think that's where a lot of that comes from. When you proceed at that sort of breakneck pace, there isn't a longer window to test every possible scenario. Having said that, Apple is throwing the net wider and wider every day with their development community, inviting folks in to test more broadly, to try different scenarios and so forth.
Are you finding then that your staff is having to spend more time dealing with software issues than hardware issues?
I would still say that these days, Apple software products are better than they were when we began this journey many years ago.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. The operating systems that Apple used to run, OS 9 and prior to that, were simply orders of magnitude beyond that in sophistication.
I guess I've had, Cal has known this, I've had this problem with Apple Mail. that had gotten so bad that I have had to switch products completely, and I'm going with something called AirMail 2, which is just working. And working like all that, like the old Mac software before, just works and works very well for me. And so it's been kind of disappointing to me that some of these core softwares, like the Apple Mail, which I loved using, up until El Capitan. It seems like with El Capitan, this is OS 10, 11, is it?
That's 11, right.
11.2, I think it is.
Yes.
Just seemed to kind of start falling apart on me. I don't know why.
It's difficult. There are so many different use cases, you know, and so many different internet providers providing mail in different ways. At Mac Professionals, we've used several different ones over the mm-hmm. years, and the experience of our employees using these different mail platforms, even with the Apple Mail client, is different every time. Calendaring is different, and mail is different, and so on. So anybody manufacturing software like this, whether it's Microsoft or Google or Apple, has to map their software products to this third-party world. Apple, of course, has always regarded one of their competitive advantages is that they sort of are a closed platform of software and hardware.
Mm-hmm.
But they really do have to integrate with the rest of the world. And mail is a perfect example of some place where that's got to tie in, and it's got to tie in successfully.
Yeah.
So there are ways for consumers to file bugs with Apple. And at Mac Professionals, one of the things we do is we offer support for these very issues.
Okay, I was going to ask how you guys handle it, because I've gone to the Mac help desks. I, you know, made the call, talked to somebody about it, and they couldn't find. I went to the forums and I didn't find any help there. Cal had directed me there, and it's been one of those things where I just can't seem to find anybody that can help me with a particular issue. So I sent it. I went to this other software just to see if it would work, and boom, worked perfectly. So
we're going to start calling you Black Cloud.
That's true. That's true. You know, if you know the old Al Cap cartoon series, there was a guy named Joel Blitzklitz, I think, and it was this combination of consonants, and he had this black cloud that followed him everywhere he went. Ed, that's me. Ed, well, no, I went on the Mac platform because I trashed a very nice Dell laptop with a cup of tea.
Mm.
And when was that, Gary? It had to be about 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago?
Oh, I think it was longer than that.
Yeah. So I have a very nasty track record.
I just think that every, you know, especially with something like mail with so many different providers and everything with that, it gets really goofy because, like, for example, I can't send mail to Earthlink people. I can't reply back to people on Windows Live for some reason.
It's another, a tangled web.
It's weird.
Dean, thank you so much. Dean Norton has been with us here, CTO at Mac Professionals. Again, Mac Professionals is a place that people can go to visit you.
That's right. The store that we allow folks to think about is in Hunter Square in Farmington Hills.
Okay, and that is at 14 Mile? And
14 in Orchard. And you can go to macprofessionals.com. And for folks looking for repair, you can go to checkin.macprofessionals.com.
Excellent. We will post all of that, too, on our homepage with our podcast a little later on Sunday. Thank you so much, Dean, for being with us.
Me. Great to be on the program.
Sorry to have brought you in here for the great debate.
I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you did. Hey, folks, the number to call is 800-859-0957. The next hour is dedicated to you answering your questions here at the Internet Advisor.